sinless. Now, that's not what the word in the Greek is being translated here. The word that is used here is the same word that Jesus used when he was on the cross. And he said, "It is finished." He meant, I've reached my goal for why I came. My work is complete. I reached its maturity or fullness. I did it perfect. In other words, God's plan is fully fulfilled. God's plan is fully developed or reached its perfect end. And that's what is meant here. When you are to be perfect, you are to fulfill what God has created you to be. So when Jesus is talking about being perfect, he isn't urging us toward perfectionism that is really impossible in this life. So you've got a right to object to that. He's not offering useless advice on how to obtain perfectionism. He is urging us to be complete, fully developed, mature, fulfilled as people who have been saved and redeemed by the blood of his Son. And now, because of that, we are reborn in the image of God. We are the image of God in our new birth in Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to love with the same love as he loves us. To imitate the patience and the love of our Heavenly Father and to make God's will our will. You see, brothers and sisters, that's the problem as disciples of Christ. That's the problem as being Christians. That's the problem of being followers of Jesus. We don't make God's will our will. And sure, we're going to fail from that. But when we allow God's will to be our will, then we are moving toward maturity. We're moving toward being perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. When we are ruled by the love of Christ, then we have reached fulfillment and completeness in our walk as disciples. This is not a journey where we can say, well, I'm there already. I've reached it. I gave my life to Christ. I walked up the aisle. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was baptized. I'm a Christian. I come to church every Sunday. I'm there. No. You don't reach the end. It's not that you've done as much as you can. Learning to walk in Christ's love and maturing into richness is an ongoing process, an ongoing action. It changes our whole perspective on things, especially our relationships with other people, whether they're our friend or whether they're our enemy. We treat our enemies the same way we would treat our friends if we are in the will of God. We are no longer followers of this world's moral view. We follow Christ. And Christ's teaching and Christ's ways is different from the world. To follow Christ is going to make you stand out. It's going to make you different. It's going to make you act and say and be different. We are called to live like Christ every day. But all of this is only possible because he allowed himself to be lifted on a cross. With that cross up on the hill of Golgotha, with the newness that we receive through God's grace and forgiveness, we're able to be what God intended us to be when he first created humanity. It is in Christ, our Heavenly Father, that no longer sees our failures, but instead sees the goodness and the righteousness that Christ has won for us. You understand that, brothers and sisters? We fail. We are broken. We sin. But if we let God's will be our will, it is in Christ and his forgiveness in us that God sees us just like he sees his Son. The question that needs to be raised now is this. What are you, and what am I going to do with what I've been saying this morning from what Jesus wants to do in our lives? It's nice to hear what Jesus had to say. To love your enemies. Don't have revenge. To forgive. To have the will of God. It's nice to hear that. It's nice to hear what it means. But it would be so easy for you to walk out of these doors this morning and walk out of this worship service and let all of this just evaporate as we leave. But the words of Christ compel us. It won't let us do this if we take seriously that we are followers of Christ, that we are Christian. They are not simple, nice words that Jesus is teaching. They are words that he has asked us to put into action. So we are challenged to look at our lives to see how well the love of Christ is ruling in our lives this morning. How well are we imitating God? Would you take a test? Would you examine yourself this morning to see? Have you been the people God called you to be? Have you been his holy, loved, and chosen people for whom Christ gave his life up? We're going to be celebrating here in a few weeks. We call Easter. How well have we been determined to follow him? How well have we been willful to do the will of God and have his will our will? How single-minded in loving that person who's been a real bother to us, making amends for people that we fall out with? How well have we done in going out of our way to befriend a person, even though our emotions and our self-centeredness screams at us to stay away from that person? How often have we preferred to hold a grudge against someone rather than take the first step and reach out with forgiveness and love? We all know how hard it is to love and to forgive a person who's hurt us. Our feelings and our emotions are telling us that that person doesn't deserve our friendship. That person has treated us in a way they don't deserve our healing. And it's with revenge that wells up in our minds, and we are happy to let that person stew in his or her own juice, as we often say it, while we walk around with our nose up in the air, feel all righteous about what has happened. Sometimes we need to will ourselves to love that person and to forgive that person. There's a well-known story that illustrates this point. Corrie ten Boom, she was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. And she tells of an occasion when she met one of her guards who had oversaw her imprisonment. And she saw him at a church service in Germany. And as when she saw him, she froze. And all the horrible memories of that concentration camp and the hunger she went through and the humiliation and the brutality and torture and watching her sister die and all of those angry feelings and revenge came flooding back over her. And the former SS guard came up to Corrie at the church after it was dismissed and everybody was emptying out of the church. And he came up to Corrie and he thrust his hand out to her and he asked for forgiveness. And she recalls, "I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, but I couldn't. I felt nothing toward this person, not the slightest warmth or charity. And I breathed a silent prayer and I said, 'Jesus, I can't forgive him. God, give me your forgiveness. He said, I can't even lift my hand. Okay, Lord, I can lift my hand. That I can do. I'll do that much. But you need to supply the feeling. And as I took his hand, Corey said, the most incredible thing happened. Into my heart sprang a love for this enemy that brought tears to my eyes. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, and the former guard in the former prison stood there, locked eye to eye, heart to heart. And Corey said, I had never known God's love so intensely as I did in that moment. And she said, I discovered something. That it was not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing is able to hinge. It all rests on God and what God is able to do if you follow him. And when he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command to do that, he will give you the love to forgive, and the love for yourself, and the love for others. Maybe that's what you need this morning. Maybe you need something that you can't give yourself. You need to come and let God give you a new heart. You need to come and let God restore you. You need to come and let God heal you and give you a new love. The only power in this world that can do that is the power of Jesus Christ. And that's why you would have to come. There's nothing you can do, but there is so much that God can do if you will let him. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we come to you again this morning to thank you. Thank you for your word and your message. God, we know that you love us. You love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died in our place that we might have life. But God, maybe this morning there's someone here that needs to have heart surgery. They need to have a new heart. And it's something they can't do for themselves, but God, you can. So may we come and confess our sins, Father. Confess our brokenness and where we fail. And may we come and receive that which you want us to have, which is your love, and then be able to go and love one another. Thank you, Father. We come to you anew this morning. We give all of ourselves to you, knowing that it is in the power of Jesus Christ that we are made you. Thank you, Father. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to join me as we close our service.